in Parshas Vayeshev, the first pasuk El Tolz Yaakov Yisrael Shvasei Shana. There's a Rashbam here. It's a very, very famous Rashbam. I apologize for eating, but that's the matter. The Rashbam here discusses the inyan of Pshat and Torah. Yaskilu v'yavino ayve seichel mashindun rabbeseinu kein mikyotz neipshutoi. It's Chazal say ein mikyotz neipshutoi af ki ikr shal Torah bo lamdeinu ulo di einu b'remizis ha-pshat ha-goris v'alochis v'adinim ad erichus ha-loshen v'adei shloishim u'shtayim midas the Iker of Torah is to teach me the things that are actually given over in drushes. In other words, the lemais of Torah, both in terms of the halacha, in terms of agoda, is in the drushes. Varishayne mitoich hasidusam nisaskelun sahadoshes shem Iker. And the earlier commentaries, because they want to do what's right, and that was the Iker focus, they went after the drushes. And that's why they were not involved, they did not go into Pshuto Shemikra. Chazal had a bit of a negative approach, not to learn too much. Higoyin includes the areas we would call Agadat Tanakh, etc. Vegam Omra Isik be Mikra Mida Veina Mida, Hoisik be Talmud Mechil Gerl Vizu. Chazal also said that learning Gemara is preferable to learning Chomish. Umitoich Kach Lo Hurgul Kol Kach Bishu Shemekras. And that's why the ones before me were not so much Isik and Shukh Shemekra. Ukid Omra Mesech the Shabbos, Havina batamnes reishnin, v'gasina kol Talmud. I was 18. I finished all the shas. V'lav yedayne de mikrodes mipshutay, and I never understood a mikrodes mipshutay. So that's akdama. V'gam Rabbeinu Shlomo avi imi mer ein agola. Rashi, my grandfather, shepirish Torah neviim uksuvim, that he wrote a pirish on Tanach, nosen leiv lefarash pshuta shemikra. He tried to explain Pshuto Shemikra. V'af ani Shmuel b'Rav Meir Chasanoi Zatzal. I, the Rashbam, nisvakachti imoy olefanav. I argued with him. V'hoideli, and he was moided to me. She'ilu hoyolei p'nai, if you'd have time, ha'yitzorach lasis pirushim acherim. He would have to do other pirushim. He would have to write other pirushim. L'fi ha'pashas ha'mischachim chol yoyim. Based on the Pashas and Mischachim Chol Yoyim. So first, what he's saying, and then let's... The last words, L'fiyah Pashas and Mischachim Chol Yoyim, I don't know what that means. I just don't know what the words mean. Reb Chaim Shel Levesa would quote it very often, and he would take it to mean, that every day brings a new Pshat. Life gives you meaning in the Torah. It's a very, very nice turn of phrase. It's certainly not what he means. So I'm not sure what, but Al Kapanim, that's a Rashbam, a very famous Rashbam. Let's talk about it and try to understand a little bit what's going on. In as far as Torah goes, there is a sort of a divide between the Rishonim that were very involved in Pshat, Evin Ezra, Rashbam, Radak. They basically try to get the meaning of the pasuk from the grammar, from the context, etc. Versus others who are yonik from other worlds as well, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechaya, they took more from the world of Chazal and Kabbalah. Rabbeinu Sadigon was a big Baal Pshat, and so on. So there was sort of a divide between the different Mefarshim, those who, and I guess the question is, nobody, Ibn Ezra makes this point many times, that chas v'sholem, that anything in the Torah is not the way the Bali Mesoris have it. In other words, if somebody were to say ayin tachas ayin means to take an eye out, that person is doing a terrible aveira, and is begal upon to asher kalocha. So that's not. If a person says that Yad Hashem means Hashem has hands, person apikiris. There are many, many instances of things. If a person understands the psukim shaloi al pi the way Chazal answered, l'mashal, reading the psukim, a person will come across, will say that really Esav was a nice guy, Yaakov was the guy who tried to fool him, which could be read in the psukim. If the person is wrong, is megal pan tarshak kalach in a terrible way. So, what exactly do we mean over here? What's the point of it? There was a more modern approach of the Haskalah that kind of used a very similar approach, but they were far from being Shema Torah mitzvahs. They took the words, they read the Torah as a book, and they used, again, grammar, context, anything you'd use for literature, and they built their picture of it, and they saw Chazal as either adding their own understandings, covering up, b'chulu, b'chulu, b'chulu. That's the way in which it was understood. And this led to, obviously, some very, very sharp words in both directions. So let's try to understand where he's coming from. Let's take a simple example where you can see a Torah Shebaal Peh and a Torah Shebiksav having different meanings. Let's say you read the following statement. So-and-so said, I tried very hard to make sure it happened, and I just didn't succeed. Okay, and I reply, and it's quoted, written, yes, you tried very hard, and that's why it didn't succeed, and it didn't succeed. That you could read that statement. Now, if you listen and you would hear a recording, my statement was, yeah, you tried really hard, and then it didn't succeed, yeah. Big, very, very, very big difference between the words quoted and the meaning. A person reads a document crafted by a lawyer, and it could say one thing, that in the interest of making sure that an amicable settlement is reached, we have decided this and that, and and therefore this and this and so on and so forth. That's what it says in the words. Somebody will say basically he's trying to get everything for himself and nothing for the other person. So even in terms of common day-to-day occurrences, there is what's written and what's meant. It's very hard. Words, real life has many dimensions, and the written word as it is not the only is a flat version of something. It's a lot more than that. When you hear a person say something, you pick up a lot more. You can go a step further. Imagine a person looks very friendly and nice to somebody and embraces him and was haste nahanahin. And I know down deep it's a game because he's trying to get X from Y from this or that or the other thing. The person really despises him and so on. So when I tell you what happened, if I want to be very, very exact, I'm going to tell you, on the face of it, it looked like a blossoming friendship. He came and they hugged each other and he goes, so friends, night. I don't tell you what's going on. So the stira between what's projected and what's reality is both are true. On the surface, X went, and then deeper, something else happened. The Torah writes, last week, Sedra, by Esav, Ayishakehu, Esav kissed him. Now, that's what happened. The Torah puts dots on it and tells you that's what you saw in front of you. But there was something a lot more than that. So the understanding, the meaning of things come in layers. There's the meaning of something the way it presents itself. There's the meaning of something that is what it really means. And then I go a step still further and say, in this event that happened, we have echoes of something that happened 25 years ago. They're not thinking of it, but there's an echo of it. So I have layers of meaning, all of them correct, so long as I understand what each one is, where to put each segment of meaning to it. There's a reason. Why did the Torah say ayin tachas ayin? And then Chazal tells me it's kesef. Why did the Torah tell us it means kesef? Obviously, there's a message in ayin tachas ayin. And ayin tachas ayin is a way, it's an appropriate phrase. And then there's the meaning to how to carry out ayin tachas ayin is kesef. And there is, over there, there is what to dash in that. It's a get of an einish, not a get of a tashlumin, and so on. The same thing with Yaakov and Esav, for instance. Yaakov is the events that happened. The Pshuto Shel Mikra tells me what happened, what somebody with a still camera would see. Chazal are telling us, if I was listening, what would I hear? What would I see? So both of them are important pieces. The question is there a value to pshat other than just telling me the events as they were and then telling me some meaning behind it? There's also hard to distinguish. We said before, Marshall, like, you know, there's one type of pshat when a person speaks cynically and says, yeah, you tried very hard and it still didn't work. I get it. Versus somebody says something, he means it, but I say down deep, he didn't forget what happened 25 years ago, and he's going to find an opportunity to get out of helping guy, whatever it is. So there's a difference between something that's immediately behind the facade, and we put a finger out and say, this is what's happening, to a remiss to something else, which is a much deeper, you know, kochus and nefesh working. It's true, but for something to be true, I need to put it in the right place. So, Lamarshall, when I see somebody doing something and saying something, I can give it a caption, but I'm a lot more accurate if I were to describe the layers. This is what was said for the microphone. This is the tone it was said in order, what it meant. This is what's playing down deep in the person's heart, and this is how it's going to affect the rest of it. If I don't tag these properly, then I'm also distorting the truth, because to say that Esav tried to kill him when he kissed him is wrong, but to say Esav kissed him because of warm friendship is wrong, because there was something else going on. So putting each segment in its right place is what is is how to realize the emes. Now, what is the level that's called pshat? In a mikra, it's a pshuto, means that even where Chazal gave us a whole different take on it, there is value to seeing pshuto shel mikra, because it's another chelik of Torah. And the Brisker Rav once said, someone asked him about the Eben Ezra, and he said that it, in the same Gemara B'Metzia, it says, Achechem Menudechem, so I think it says Menudechem El Bali Mikra. So the Rav said there are Bali Mikra. He knows his world is the world of Mikra. So there is something in that world of Mikra that is a chelik of Torah. It's a facet of Torah. It needs to be understood. The grammar, the language, the understanding of what the word means and the different possibilities are important. Now the question is a lot, what is the primary pshat? So Lamashal, the words will say one thing. Chazal clearly indicate a second thing. Rashi did not bring all the Chazal, and Rashi sometimes commented on Chazal. that ani lo basel yashiv a kozel apshutoi vadrushi darish. So that means sometimes Rashi felt that the Chazal's drasha was much more primary. So Lamash, let's go back to that case. If I come along and I said, yeah, it was you worked very hard to make sure it happened, this and that. The primary meaning is not the words I said. That was said in a way where the primary meaning is the cynicism. And I would be wrong to say, yeah, he said that my hard work is what helped it happen. No, that's not what it meant. It means that it's a cynical statement. So Rashi chose the medrashim that he felt aboli yashiv amikral pshutoi, those medrashim that need to take precedence of what the words mean, and they become pshuta shemikra in Rashi's world. It doesn't take away from the Ben Ezra and the Radak and Rashbam's need to teach the words as they are, as literal as can be teached. That is, for example, certain places not. That is the machlokas. So there's obviously machlokas in certain areas. There seems to be machlokas Rashbam Rashi. At which point do we tag it as pshuto shel mikra, and also they're valid machlokas on different chazal. Is this chazal a drash, or is it pshuto shel mikra? Now a drash is not to be understood as a kind of frivolous. Yeah, he needed a drasha for sheva brachas, and that's what he said. A drash is one of the chalkei Torah, and the ikar of halacha is the drashas. But it's meant to be understood that this drash is not pshuta shemikra, and I need to have a pshuta shemikra adjacent with the pshat. So this was a machlokas, and it's a valid machlokas of different fashion. But akapon, at least understanding, both of them are both pshat and drash. And remez and sod are all important parts of Torah, but they're not. Each one has to have his place. There's a very famous vart. It says, "Yaakovina loy meis," and he told him v'chi b'chi chantuch and taya softes of taya and so on, and he told him mikra ni dovish. So Rav Utner writes, and I've seen it others, many others. That what did he answer mikra ni dovish? I mean, you read the parasha. They embalmed him, they were maspid him, they were buried him. You can't be more dead than that. So Rav Utner said, there are different chalakim of Torah, and in the world of Pshat, in the world of Mikra, Yaakov Avinu died and was buried. In the world of Drash, he's living. In other words, it's another dimension of a certain emes, and therefore it has its makom, I'm understanding it not from the vantage point of pshat, but from the vantage point of drush, and that is an emes. It just we have to understand it in what sense. So it means mahu b'chaim, b'nav chaim. It means zchusis chaim. It means whatever it was that Yaakov did. That's the nekud in Klal Yisrael. Many ways to understand it. It's not meant to understood on a level of biology. There's no, in Yaakov Avinu's caver in Hebron, there is no empty spot waiting for somebody else to buy into it. It's full and there's a body there, except that there's another dimension in with which we can say correctly, Lomeis. That's the machlokas between the Jush and the Pshat. Now, on a practical level, so, you know, things, it's very, very hard for people to do a balancing act. People don't like to balance things. So basically, you get people who learn it all alpi dikduk, all alpi the way the words are written. The story they glean is whatever they imagine as if they read a novel, and whatever they would get out of it, that I interpret. Chazal, they see as a new Torah. In other words, there's even from people who quote unquote hold by Chazal, they were mefarish, and their own pirushim are called drush. It's an insight that is to Tanchuma's insight. It has nothing to do with the Pshat and the Pasuk. That is borderline kfira. It's and a lot of it also depends on the tone of voice you say it. If you say, you know, this is, let's learn first what the Chumash says, and we'll do the Chumash and that. And then you come along and say, let's see what our rabbis enlightened us. And it's basically the value of Chazal is just Divrei Chazal. It's not, has no shaykhas really with the Pasuk. So that's, like I said, it's borderline kfira. The flip side is, you learn Pshatim and Pshatlach, and you don't even begin to understand what the words mean, what the story means, and so on. It's you can't teach a pasuk well. You don't get the nuances of what Chazal saw, where they saw it. The whole world that is the world of Pshat is alien to you. You can't even teach a pasuk straight because you don't know what the Machlok Sashemban told you, what that word means. I mean, there's a lot in the diktuk of it. Why does a sentence read a certain way? Why is this a better pshat or the other one? It's almost as if it became unhinged, and no shaykhus to the guf of Torah. That's also a real problem. A lot of it was a reaction to the Haskalah. So that if the Haskalah was into diktuk, we're anti-diktuk. If they went to pshat, we're anti-pshat. There were actually a few sfarim that shone very brightly and incredible, the Malbim, the Ksava Kabbalah, that they tried very hard to show how in the nuances of the Pasuk you get all the different understandings of Chazal. Some of it's really incredible, some of it's very beautiful. Brings out Al Kapanim. That was the rarity. Most people went one way or another. So you'll get some Zachsidi Shayid. He doesn't even know what the pasuk means, but he knows a pshetl that it's not even the world of remes. It's hard to call it. It's the drush of the remes, maybe, or the remes of the drush, or I don't know what. There's some crazy takeoff of it. Like upon him, this is a Rashbam, very very famous Rashbam, Magzud Rashi. To us, Rashi is accepted as being the right medium. Rashi, our Messiah is that Rashi is our Rebbe. And the Chazal that he brings are central to understanding the Pasuk. The Chazal he doesn't bring are drush. Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky told one of the Rebbeim Yeshiva Bayas, asked him about telling Medrash stories to the kids, and he said only the Medrashim that Rashi brings. In other words, Rashi had an appropriate hafchana between what is something that needs, that's core, and what's another drush. The things that are core, a child should learn at a young age. This is how you learn the pasuk. This is how you take in the pasuk, and the other chazal needs a mature mind to understand how it's a harmonic of the pasuk. It's not what the pasuk is saying, but it's something that emanates from the pasuk, echoes from the pasuk. Okay, next piece.
What's a pshat that ain mishivim al drush?
Mishivim al drush means
like as if it's,
what?
It's something that doesn't have to be exact or
no.
Explained.
So a mishivim al drush is that you don't have a shakla v'tarya and kashas and terutzim are not the appropriate tools to deal with drush, because when I tell you this is what it means, I'm nailing it down, and it's either yes or no. Drush is another way of looking at something. It's another kneich, another nekuda, and therefore the type of kasha teretz. It can't be this because of this. You don't find occasionally Chazal where somebody was mafrichim, the thing where he said it can't possibly be. But in halacha, it's always either or. And if I prove X, then why is this proven? If I prove Y, X is disproven. Okay, next piece is a Sfarnu. It says about Yosef, it says, V'hu na'aris b'nei bilha. So what does the hu na'aris b'nei bilha mean? So the Sfarnu says, U'mipnei na'arusoi chata lavi divasechav. it's because he was young, and Naros would be like a teenager. That's why he did wrong by coming to tell about what his brothers did. He says Yosef was a very, very smart person. He later was the one who advised Mitzrayim and so on. But at this point he was still young, and these problems arose from being youthful. This is what Chazal say. It says that old people won't give you a reason, young people are not good for advice. So let's talk about this a little bit. This is very important. There are a few connections over here about Nairus. One is the koach of Nairus is like Lashon his orus or air. It's somebody who's moved to do something. When a person is young, a person tends to be extremely driven to do and to accomplish. So that's a tremendous koach nefesh. On the other hand, it's rarely tempered by anything, by any breaks. Two, you say to yourself, this has to be this way. You don't have the benefit of hindsight, of seeing where something went to. In science, you start many, many, many great ideas, great theories, get off to a bang, and then in Lemaisa you realize it doesn't pan out. In life, it's the same thing. There are a lot of very smart things, but experience shows you it doesn't work. So in the koyach of Nairus, there's a lot of haschala, but there's no tachlis. And that's what he says, that's what Chazal say. An old person is not good for timing, because he does everything by experience. This worked, this doesn't work, tachlis. A young person, Eitzah is not good, because he might have brilliant ideas, but he doesn't ever see it having, you know, played out in life. And therefore the person is helpless. The person can say brilliant things, can push tremendously, but tachlis, he's not going to be right. I was fascinated, you know, a few years ago when they had the so-called Arab Spring, and they had the rebellions in all these Arab capitals, and they threw over people and governments, v'chulu v'chulu. So all the newspapers lauded it and said two things. This shows you the power of youth. Finally, youth grabbed the power, and, you know, youth is changing the world for the good. And two, it's the power of social media. Those were the two heroes of the events. Now, I think they're right, because the way the events bore out exactly proves the point. But what happened from it is they succeeded in destroying the old order. They succeeded in zero in terms of creating anything new. And the reason is because youth was at work. Youth is extremely good at pushing, overthrowing, and seeing change is necessary. But what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to run a country, clueless. Same thing with social media. When you limit it to 128, 48, whatever it is, I don't know how many oasis ktoishis in a Twitter. So you're that's the level. So the most you can say is, go for it, chevre. That's about it. Anything more nuanced or substantial than that can't be given over social media. And to say that, so yes, you can rile up a crowd and get them incited to do something with a big oomph, but there's no way in the world you can get substance in something that has a tachlis with that type of approach. So al kapanim, the tachlis of this, Yosef was lacking nothing except for zikna. He saw it from the eyes and the chachma of a young person, and Chazal said, "V'lo b'dareke eitzeh." So the Nairus here is a description, a core description of why these events are about to unfold. Okay, any questions, any points, anybody, comments?
Anybody on the phone wants to unmute himself, I think you have to press star six.
Hello, Daddy?
Yes.
Hi, this is David Mirsky.
Hi, David.
This last point, I think, is at least the boys I deal with, is very nogea.
Yeah.
Is there any etza that we can, how can we get them? I feel like the kids all think, it's an old schmooze, but that, the kids of the new generation knows and the old generation doesn't know. How can we, any impact to that?
So you can tell them what you know to be emes. And in 25 years from now, they'll understand it. That's one etza, which is usually tends to be the given for these things. But I think right. So it's also you can use examples. Ask people if you have a choice. A person has some sort of difficult disease. Chas v'shalom. He has a choice of a young 30-year-old doctor who's absolutely brilliant, or somebody who's 60 and has seen 5,000 patients like that. What would you choose? It's not that you would machavek the young person, but you would take into account. Same thing in business. I once read that the business world, the investment world, is divided between people that experienced the market crash and people that didn't. In other words, everybody has gung-ho and phenomenal ideas, and why are you guys just sitting around and kratzing? This is up to that. When you taste the first bubble burst and everything just collapses on you so suddenly, that changes you. And you definitely don't want to listen to a person that never did experience a bubble collapse. So it's true, the person who's experienced once or twice bubbles collapsing is kind of burnt, and he's much, much more slow in investing. But tachlis, it's going to, you'll have some real good precaution against it happening. If you go with a young person, he's very energetic and driven, it's wonderful, but he's not able to see these things. Give these mishalim and let them understand it. Let them understand that, try to pick things that they also would go to some experience, like a doctor. You recognize brilliance l'chud. I met a doctor who was like very driven, Israeli, very, very serious about his craft. And like at the age of 50 or something, he told me, I came in with a medical book and gung-ho that everything should be done way. He said, now I'm a lot more surprised if something works than when it doesn't work. And it's experience, it changes. So give him a shalom. At the end of the day, your job is to tell them, and when their das is misyashiv, the understanding of the kochos ha-nefesh, to me, the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave different kochos ha-nefesh to different ages. And how zikna has to work together with nairus. So a young person can build, he's more energetic, he's driven, he can do things, but the breaks have to be provided by zikna. So you need to be able to have somebody say, okay, ad kan, the risk is okay, from this point downwards, stop.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, David. Beseder. Okay, so, guten. Take care. Bye.